This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Our next guest is seeking to honor all of the fallen heroes from the war in Afghanistan by literally remembering every single one of their names.
Get this, he has memorized over 2,300 names, first, last, and ranked in the order they passed away, and he travels the country writing them on this wall behind us.
Unbelievable. Ron White is a Navy veteran and a two-time memory champion. He joins us right now. Ron, it is incredible what you do. I mean, we can just show how far you've come. You start at 3 a.m. this morning. You're almost done. But you do it by memory. You've memorized every single name. Why is this so important to you?
Well, I think as a nation, we say, you know, you are not forgotten. But I think we mean it, and we mean that, but we mean it as maybe a whole. You know, they're not forgotten. I wanted to say individually, Specialist Richard Emmons, you are not forgotten. Sergeant Jeffrey Shear, you are not forgotten. Specialist Devin Snyder, you are not forgotten. I wanted to say to every single one, you are not forgotten. And I do that with two ways. I do that with this wall, and then I interview the families and have a podcast where I tell the stories of these men and women on the wall.
It is an amazing thing that you're doing. How do you do it, though? I mean, how do you memorize not just the names, but also the information about the names?
Well, it's a lot of work. I create pictures, images, so I'm seeing pictures whenever I am writing out the wall. But it took a year to memorize. It's over 7,000 words, ranked first name, last name. But it's a long process. It's a hard process, but it's worth it to keep their memory alive.
You served in Afghanistan as well, so this is a personal thing for you.
It's very personal for me, and I have become a better person from the stories that I've heard from the Afghanistan memory wall. You know, you've got First Lieutenant Todd Weaver. Whenever he was over there, he wrote a letter to his wife and a letter to his daughter in the case of his death. And he left those letters on his laptop. And when he died, they got his laptop and they opened up and they read it. And I actually read those on my podcast, americasmemory.com. It's a power. The stories are so inspiring.
What does it mean for the families, what you're doing? I mean, these are the people. I mean, we see the name there, but they meant so much to their family.
You know, that's the reason. The first time I did this, it took me a year to do it, and it was so hard to do, and I almost wanted to stop doing it, but it's the families that keep me going. You know, moms and dads will stand at the wall for 3 or 4 hours in anticipation of me writing their son's name.
That gives me chills, Ron. That is incredible.
Private First Class Austin Stagg's grandmother stood at the wall for 4 hours.
If this is an expensive project, and you were wondering if the American people wanted to help, you're going to tell them how they can.
We would really appreciate that. We have no sponsors. This is funded by the American people. If they could go to americasmemory.com, americasmemory.com, Grunt Style, we've partnered with them, and they've created these T-shirts.
Right.
If they get a T-shirt at americasmemory.com, it will really, really help out this project. 100% of the proceeds go to this wall. It's just to keep it going, to pay our gas and our hotel around the country.
Do you have like a wrist exercise that keeps it so it's not sore?
You know,
it
took me a year to memorize this, and as we started getting closer, I started thinking, oh my gosh, is my hand going to cramp up? So I started doing push-ups every day, but believe it or not, my hand didn't cramp up. It was my brain, you know, that more cramped.
That's understandable. With 7,000 words you need to remember.
Are you going to finish before the show is over?
The goal is to finish almost right at 9 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll be checking. We will be checking back in.
It's a very cool project.
Very
cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
americasmemory.com.
What a neat project, huh? America's Memory Project, honoring our heroes, and thanks to Ron White and everybody involved with that organization to honor our heroes. I don't know if you caught this or not. This was, quite interesting, and that is that Facebook finds independence document racist. The algorithms have ruled that parts of the U.S. Declaration of Independence are hate speech and removed excerpts of them posted to the platform. See, this is how kind of silly some of this stuff goes. Anyway, they did rectify that problem, but, you know, still, you know, it's what happens when you use robots and all these algorithms, you know, doesn't take into consideration, oh, yes, this is the founding document, and there should be more to it. It says, nope, you're out of the parade and kicked aside. But fortunately, they were able to square it away. So we're grateful for Facebook for doing that, right?
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443443. That's BEST 55 to 443443.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez live.
I was blinded. You gave me eyes to see. I was going under. You reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We're going to be talking with Dr. Kenneth Barnes, his book, Redeeming Capitalism. You know, for good or ill, the jacket raids the capitalism we have is the capitalism we have chosen, says Dr. Barnes. Capitalism works, and the challenge before us is not to change its structure, but to address the moral vacuum at the core of its current practice. Kenneth Barnes, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you.
Well, why Redeeming Capitalism? What prompted you to write this book?
Well, I'm not a career academic. I came to the world of academics after about a 30-year career in international business. Mm-hmm. So it's not written necessarily from the perspective of a theologian, although that's what I am. Mm-hmm. It's also written from the perspective of someone who saw the good, the bad, and the ugly of capitalism on a global level. And after the crisis of 2008, it caused me to ask some hard questions about what's really at the core, ethically and morally, of this wonderful system for wealth creation we call capitalism. Mm-hmm. And that's really what drove me to write the book.
In the general context of all the isms that are out there when it comes to the economy, do you choose capitalism? I'm not talking about its current form. I understand, and I agree with you. It is rather, it's a rather extraordinary display, and it's a bit out of control, to say the least. But with all the isms that are out there, do you think capitalism is one that serves God's intent for humanity?
Well, I think it can serve God's intent for humanity. In terms of, you know, comparing capitalism to other systems, I tell people the title of the book is not replacing capitalism. The title mm-hmm. of the book is Redeeming Capitalism.
Exactly.
I'm with mm-hmm. Abraham Kuyper, who famously quoted, "There's not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine." Mm-hmm. So everything needs redemption. It's not just capitalism that needs redemption. Everything needs it. But I happen to be pretty darn familiar with it because, as I said, I worked interestingly at a very high level for a very long time, and I've seen both the excesses and the problems inherent therein, as well as the magnificence of wealth creation and helping alleviate poverty, etc. So what I'm hoping to do is see if we can change the narrative a little bit and get to a point where we can bring discussions of faith and hope and love back into the lexicon of business, because they've been missing for a long time.
Well, being a theologian like yourself, Dr. Barnes, I can appreciate where capitalism under proper restraint can do and fulfill what God has intended for his people. That is number one. He commands us to be fruitful and multiply. Another aspect of our faith and belief in him is that we would take care of the less advantaged. And unfortunately, capitalism has developed over the decades and over the millennia, you might argue, to become very greed-centric. And that's where it's out of order. And I guess that's where your call is to reimagine, reform, and redeem what could be a very powerful win-win form of system.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, you asked me about capitalism versus other systems. And what I say in the book, and in some ways it's the foundational principle to understand the book, and that is that capitalism is a subject, not an object. Mm-hmm. Capitalism itself has no hypostasis, to use a theological word. It is not something that is driven from the center, driven by a particular mind or order. It's really just the name we use to describe a free market economic system which is highly monetized and lightly regulated. And we call that thing capitalist. But because it's a subject and not an object, it also doesn't possess any moral code of its own. It will reflect the morality and the ethics, or lack thereof, of the culture in which it resides. So what I did in the book is I looked at different economic epochs, starting with what I call the traditional capitalism observed by Adam Smith, mm-hmm. and asked questions about what was the ethic that drove that. I looked at Max Weber's era and modern capitalism and the Protestant ethic, what drove that. And then I looked at our situation today. And I concluded that what we have today is postmodern capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I define that as capitalism that's devoid of a moral compass and resistant, if not impervious, to ethical constraint. And I don't think that's sustainable. And I want to see us evolve into a virtuous form of capitalism.
Well, what we've seen historically, Dr. Barnes, is when there is no moral restraint, and now you enter into an era of chaos. And look at America today in the 21st century, and chaos is on display around every corner. It's embraced and accepted like as if, you know, it's the norm, and that you have people of faith going, this is not what God intended.
Well, that's exactly right. And as I tell people, if we don't redeem capitalism, we're going to hate what replaces it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it, you know, people have asked me to write a second book, Redeeming Democracy, because our democratic system is suffering in many of the same ways that our economic system is. But here's the good news. You know, we don't want the listeners to think it's all bad news, because it's not. The good news is we have at our disposal a certain amount of spiritual capital. Mm-hmm. We have not only the cardinal virtues, which transcend all religious belief or none, of prudence and courage and justice and moderation, but we also have the theological virtues. We have faith, hope, and love. And even those things, even though we call them theological virtues, they're actually universal because they're gifts from God.
Exactly.
And we can't have a healthy economic system if we don't have faith. And faith breeds hope, and all of those things are built on love, which includes concern for the other. And what I've seen is a narrative in business and economics that suggests if we only look after ourselves, the other will work itself out. And that just doesn't happen, and no, it's not a Christian idea.
Exactly. Well, and this is the problem. You know, we've gone to that phase where we've abandoned the moral code and the moral bumpers of life, and we've got a little chaos going on. You talk about 08. I mean, if that wasn't, you know, greed unhinged, then I don't know what to call it. I mean, $6 trillion, roughly, it's been estimated, in some circles of wealth or of property that vapored and nobody went to jail over it. That's pretty disgusting.
Not only did no one go to jail, no one was even charged. But here's the thing to remember. They weren't charged because they didn't break any laws. You know, when people say, well, can't we just, you know, create laws and regulations to fix it, I remind them that the laws are always one generation or one crisis behind the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
What they did was they followed an ethic which is in line with the ethical egoism we see at work across the spectrum today, and believed that as long as they were maximizing shareholder value at any given time, they were morally in the right. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I go to great lengths to describe why that's wrong.
Right.
Why you can't just assume that maximizing profit is a moral thing to do.
Right. Dr. Barnes, let's pick it up from there. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking Redeeming Capitalism with Kenneth Barnes. Stay with us. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon bottle today at BYLN.co. That's BYLN.co.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Bill Martinez live.
We're back with the America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Redeeming Capitalism, that is the title of Kenneth Barnes' latest book. And we were talking about mores and and ethics. And I always thought, Dr. Barnes, that ethics is what ought to be. And that's what I saw the economic community, particularly, you know, some of these banks and hedge fund holders and the like, that became greedy and really obliterated, you know, the core value and concept of what capitalism is all about. And ethics is really kind of the bumper or the anchoring point. And they let go of ethics, and you know they got caught up into this moral concept, the mores of the time that said, hey, it's okay. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton said, hey, we need everybody to have the American dream, and you know, they bought into that conveniently to accommodate their ill-gotten gain. And a runaway form and runaway train, I should say, on our economy, and it ruined a lot of people, and it was just amazing to me after everything was said and done. And you know, and here it is, you get the, you know, these legislators who come in and they think somehow they're going to redeem themselves through legislation, as opposed to doing what you and I would have said, is that, look, at you need to ask for forgiveness, and this is, if we're going to redeem capitalism, we need to repent of you know, some of the things that we've been doing here in the name of capitalism.
Exactly right. I tell everyone that we resort to regulation and legislation when ethics fail, and mm-hmm. ethics doesn't have to fail. The fact of the matter is, every human being ever born has a moral compass, but like any other part of our existence, if we don't exercise it, it becomes weak and ultimately useless. Mm-hmm. And there's been a tremendous amount of research, and it really started with Aristotle, and it goes to the modern scientific community, looking at oxytocin and various physical elements in the body, that proves that when you do virtuous things, you crave more virtuous things. Mm-hmm. And you start to develop a pattern of virtue, and you become a virtuous person.
Right.
So it's not about what we do, it's about who we are. So the question I ask in this book, in a sense, is who are we as Americans, as capitalists? You know, what is the purpose of economics to begin with? And if you only think the purpose of economics is to make money, you miss the point. Because really, economics is about human flourishing. Certainly, I believe that as a Christian. Mm-hmm. The Bible really teaches that from beginning to end. And in the book, I give a lot of biblical support. There's over 100 biblical verses quoted in the book. Mm-hmm. But I also go back to Augustine and Aquinas and Calvin and Luther and Catholic social teaching. There's an awful lot of Christian thought that has gone into this that fell out of fashion. And we can't afford to allow it to fall out of fashion anymore.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Barnes, by admission, you say you're not an academic, you're more of a theologian. But because of what happened to capitalism, we're going back to 08 again in the rearview mirror and looking back, because something dramatic happened as we came out of that experience with 08. Government came in, a lot of stuff, you know, brushed under the carpet, it became a political issue, and now you've got academics saying, you see, I told you capitalism was wrong, this is why we need to move towards socialism. Does this account for the rise in socialism and the popularity of one Bernie Sanders?
Yes, I have an entire chapter on utopian solutions, and I include Bernie Sanders in it. I include Thomas Piketty in it. I include others, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and I think I give a fair assessment of where they're right and where they're wrong. But at the bottom line, you simply can't replace capitalism with an alternative utopian solution, if for no other reason than it's just too complex to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that whenever you try to enforce a utopia, by definition it becomes a dystopia.
Yeah.
So we will hate what replaces it if we try to replace it.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to these voices of discontent. And I'll tell you, as someone who teaches now, at a theological seminary, I'm surrounded by millennials all the time. And the Harvard Political Review just had research that showed only 19% of millennials think of themselves as capitalists. It's because that generation came to really become conscious about economics in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. So they have a very jaundiced view of capitalism. It's no one's fault. They observed what they observed, and they came away saying, I'm not convinced. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is we need to change the narrative so that people understand that capitalism has done more to alleviate poverty and enhance human flourishing than any other economic system ever devised. However, it has the dark side, and we've got to overcome the problems inherent in the dark side. And if we don't instill virtue into the system, the dark side is going to take over.
Yeah, without a doubt. You would hope and think that the professors in academia would be leading the way to pursue the truth, but I guess it's just an easy way to say, all right, let's put capitalism in the trash can of history and let's revisit socialism. And even with that, as smart as these people supposedly are, I'm talking about these professors, or that you would hope they would be, is like, give me some historical evidence where socialism outperformed capitalism.
Well, and you're not wrong when you say that, but I would go one step further, and I would say I think this dichotomy debate is really kind of unhelpful anyway. Mm-hmm. When you ask someone what socialism is, most people don't have a definition. They don't really know what they're talking about, and they often convolute it with totalitarian Marxism, which is a very different thing in and of itself. Mm-hmm. What I say to people is, look, capitalism is fantastic, but there are limits to what the market can do. And there are some places where you don't have a natural equilibrium between supply and demand, which is what the invisible hand was that Adam Smith spoke about. Mm-hmm. And in those areas, we should look at collective solutions. That's not socialism. That's just pragmatism. That's just being smart. Mm-hmm. That's just saying that in some instances, there's no correlation between someone's need and their ability to pay. So if we group together in those areas, we can do better than if we just allow the market to run amok. However, in most instances, the market does a better job. It's a lot like, you know, biological evolution. We can tamper with the human body and the human genome as much as we want, but nature does a better job managing the gene pool than we ever could. And capitalism is like the gene pool. It's the cumulative effect of countless economic decisions. And every economic decision anyone has ever made was a moral choice. And that's the theme of the book.
Well, at the core of capitalism, aligning with biblical principles, I hear what God said, be fruitful and multiply. He wouldn't have told us to go out and be productive if we weren't capable of doing it. Now, is that the case for everyone? No, it's not, to your point. And I think that's where, you know, some socialism, if you want to call it that, working together, you say, responding to that hidden hand, comes into play here. But by and large, when you look at the core of our happiness, I find time and again, people who are productive are most happy. I think the reason that they've been so cranky in the previous decade was because there was a stifling of productivity, and now there is an unleashing of productivity, and there's a level of enthusiasm that is beginning to reign. Now, the opportunity is, to your point here, Dr. Barnes, is let's not go on overload here. You know, let's not forget what capitalism has done, where its shortfallings has been, and what we can do to really, you know, redeem this economic system to where it truly is win-win and advantageous for those, and especially for those that are less than. I'm going to let you summarize it and wrap it up here in the last 45 seconds that we have together, if you would, sir.
Well, I would just respond to what you said by saying one of the issues we have to face is if we're going to have and enjoy the benefit of this unleashed amount of productivity, then things like wage growth have to go coincide with that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people are going to get cynical and they're going to say the system doesn't work for me. So all of us in this system need to understand that while we are creating wealth, we need to ensure that it's also helping the common good.
Without a doubt. His book, Redeeming Capitalism, available at all the usual places, Dr. Barnes.
Thank you.
Okay, it is available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Barnes, again, appreciate the conversation. Thank you for the book. Boy, this is a great read, and I think it'll give us some new opportunity to look at capitalism a little bit differently and be encouraged to let's not replace, let's redeem it, right?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Dan Perkins here from Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Another promise kept by Donald Trump, and this one is for us, the veterans. The Veterans Mission Act was passed by the Congress on a nonpartisan basis to support all of you who have served our country. The Act has many provisions and benefits for you, the American veteran. One major change is to remove the limitations on home health care benefits that was limited to only veterans after 9/11. Another provision gives you the treatment options for private care if you live more than 40 miles from a VA hospital. So here's your veteran's tip of the day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your local VA office. Talk to them about how you may gain access to private health care paid for by the VA. Your quality of life depends upon your action. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us Veterans Tip of the Day.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
12 young boys in Thailand, now 12 days trapped in a cave, and rescuers are working feverishly to figure out how to get them out before more heavy rain hits the area and further floods that cave system. This American scuba instructor, Jonas Ferberg, agrees with those who have proposed giving the boys themselves scuba lessons.
They're going to have to place their trust in these other divers, and these divers are placing themselves at great risk as well.
Tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese goods are scheduled to kick in tomorrow. At a Beijing press conference today, a Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesman says China will immediately retaliate with tariffs on U.S. goods when they do. Weekly jobless claims rising by 3,000 last week to a level that was 8,000 more than analysts had predicted. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
Hey, you know every word that you say.
America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and from Washington, D.C., the media reporter for the Washington Examiner, Eddie Scarry, joins us now. He's author of Fraud and Fiction, The Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. Eddie, how you been?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thanks for joining us. Update us on your latest column. You know, what is going on with the Democrats? I mean, you know, here they are pointing fingers saying the Republicans are in a crisis. Maybe they're just misperceiving who actually is in the crisis.
You ask what's going on with Democrats. It'd be nice if we do, but The media won't really talk about these things. We only hear about the glorification of this one candidate. Her name is so long, I'm refusing to even say it.
Yeah.
I'm in New York, who won that upset primary, but the things that she campaigned on were ridiculous. I think now we're kind of coming around to the idea that abolishing ICE is not a winning issue necessarily with America across the country. In my piece, I'm talking about how, we're constantly focusing, the media focusing on Republicans and divisions there. Who's the anti-Trump ones? Who's going to vote against, what does John McCain have to say? What's his latest opposition? What, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, you do have Democrats who are not in good shape heading into the midterms. I think that there's a certain tone in the coverage that does not allow that. You know, people should know that that's the case, even though the coverage is a little bit more celebratory of cases like the one in New York.
In New York.
Well, the president, one, Democrats really don't turn out in midterms. They tend to not turn out. Republicans, even when Democrats have taken Congress, like they did in 2006, Republicans still had a higher turnout than them. It's just more independents voted for Democrats. But that was a year where Bush was about 7 points less popular with both independents and Republicans. So right now you've got a lot of energy among Republicans. We haven't seen the kind of popularity that Trump has. I think even Bush at this point, Reagan did not have Trump's level of popularity. So at this same point in his term. So things are looking good for Republicans, but you would not know that reading the coverage about this Alexandria.
Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, with her, you know, they're finding out some of her stories. You know, her mom says, I've never been a maid. What are you talking about? I'm a maid. You know, so, you know, the background deception, you know, but hey, look at it. It's all about the cause, and this is what happens with socialists. Is the truth, forget about the truth. The truth doesn't matter. It's just whatever they want to, whatever narrative they want to push. And of course, here she was, this rising star suddenly out of nowhere, and they're thinking, you know, this is going to be incredible. But I guess, you know, if she follows the lead of Elizabeth Warren, who so much of her background was deception as well, as we're trying to figure out, is she or is she not, you know, what Donald Trump calls her, Pocahontas, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, what's going on with the Dems? I mean, are they just allergic to the truth or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one mode of coverage that the national media seems to be able to approach Democrats with, and and I write about this in my piece. It's basically if you're an attractive minority, they want to know if you're going to run for president. That's about it, so long as you're in the Democratic Party. If you're attractive and you're in a minority, the only question they know to ask is, well, are you going to run for president?
Yeah.
Sure enough, it was actually the New York Post, which was a little bit surprising, but I guess the New York Times wasn't really even covering Ocasio-Cortez's race, but the New York Post, right after she won the primary, went to her mom, and her mom says she wants to run for president. So, you know, this is it runs like clockwork. You can always predict it. Meanwhile, with Republicans, it's a such more interesting story because the media suddenly knows the questions to ask, and it's always, you know, where's the Republican I can find that's against Trump, and it's always the ones that, like, you know, Flake, who's retiring, McCain, who's on his deathbed at this point, and then the other one, I forget the other one that lives out in, like, somewhere in a farm town.
Just always, there's just some problems. They know how to ferret them out. That's fine. But, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, Eddie, and we've maintained this, is that the momentum and the anomaly that is Donald Trump is so extraordinary that all these past predictors, I think you're going to fall by the wayside the same way that they did on election night of 2016. What do you say?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. The one factor you have to look in, the one wild card is Donald Trump, and he affects everything. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, I'm kind of just, in my piece, I was just pointing out, like, differences and things that, you know, the idea that there's going to be either a blue wave or that Republican Democrats are going to sweep Congress in any way simply because they've had a couple good races. Actually, the special election results have been pretty mixed. The successes of Donald Trump's administration have been more positive than negative. But at the same time, you do have Donald Trump being fairly unpopular, at least on a national scale. But we know that's not really necessarily matters, and he was not really a popular guy going into 2016, and yet he's
exactly
left the Electoral College. So yeah, there's really no telling what's going to happen. But I am saying that the odds look better for Republicans, and you really won't hear that if you're just looking at the general coverage of the national media.
Well, his approval, no doubt, though, Eddie, is on a rise. I mean, gosh, even look at Black American. I mean, according to the recent reports, I mean, up 10 points. Are you kidding me? I mean, here's a guy, this white gazillionaire out of Manhattan, goes to the Black community and says, hey, what have you got to lose? Or to, you know, to quote him directly, what the hell do you got to lose? And look at what's going on. I mean, all time, you know, the lowest unemployment that Black America has had, Hispanic America, same thing. You know, he is, you know, he is shaping the narrative regardless of what the mainstream media wants to say, even though they're pummeling him, as you know, probably 90% of still 90% of the reporting Donald Trump has been negative. But in spite of that, I mean, you imagine if there was if it was fair and balanced, you know, what you know, what kind of effect could be made. And of course, now with the nominee that he'll be announcing next week for the Supreme Court to replace Kennedy, boy, the Dems are really in chaos, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the deck is stacked against them right now. But, you know, like you were talking about, the type of coverage that the president gets is there's pretty much one mode to it. It's always negative. So you don't really get the context that he actually has an opposite issue or opposite deal than what Obama had. Obama was very popular. Like, if you asked him, what do you approve of? If you asked the public, do you approve of Obama? Their approval ratings were actually pretty good most of the time. Mm-hmm. But if you asked him about specific issues where Obama came down on or about the economy, those numbers tank. Trump, it's the exact opposite. You ask people, and I think so many of them just feel like it's a controversial thing to say yes. But if you ask them, they'll say, no, his numbers are pretty low. But then if you go, even if you say his position on immigration, his managing of the economy, et cetera, and his numbers are actually really high, they get up into like the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how people will tend to vote or not vote in the case of Democrats. I don't know that they'll see that the numbers are, they feel in their pocketbook and say, hey, I don't know that I have much reason to go out and vote and put in and change things from the way they are.
Well, you talk about brain damage for the Democrats, and you mention immigration with all the negative stuff that has been going on, the border, kids in cages, all this stuff. You know, the president's popularity amongst Hispanics has been on the rise as well, in spite of all this negative reporting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think to some extent people can, like, they're kind of over. I think the separating families from children thing, because I think, you know, there kind of came a point where, well, not obviously the president kind of signed the thing that, mm-hmm. you know, is going to delay that, though I think we're just going to be back in the same situation like Sarah Sanders said, when they start running out of resources and they're, you know, completely strained. But right. I wrote about this too, which is that there was no new policy. The president wasn't doing something new. Only you would have to believe that enforcing the existing law is new. That's not a new policy. It's just right. enforcement.
And that what seems to be the voice and echo from America is that enforce the law. He's the author of Fraud and Fiction, Eddie Scarry, from Washington, D.C. on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906, 800-296-0906, 800-296-0906.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
The music, the lights over the sky, and we know it's a bird, it's a plane.
To Bill Martinez live.
It's Steve Evans, the movie guy. Oh, there it is. Oh, the big finish there. We love it. Steve-O, how are we doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing fine, fine. Let's see if I can live up to that intro here. We
I have faith.
Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom, doing real well last weekend. It was number one again, making $60.9 million here in this country. It's made about $265 in this country so far, but it's been doing amazing business worldwide. It should break $1 billion worldwide by the end of the weekend.
Really? Which means, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been out for a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Wow, it cost about $340 million to make. That includes production and marketing and everything. So that means that, you know, Universal is going to be about $660 million to the good at the end of the weekend. I mean, it's, I hate to keep talking about these numbers, but they are so huge. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Steve-O, before, you know, we always looked at domestic, but the impact of the foreign box office entry, I mean, it just keeps on going here. I mean,
absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, that is the name of the game these days. Yeah. Incredibles 2 is number two. Now, that's only made about $440 million in this country.
Bummer.
It hasn't really opened worldwide, and it will be hitting the major markets here soon, which will mean by the time next week, Disney will have 9 of the top 13 domestic hits of all time.
Unbelievable.
For Incredibles 2. And it will be on its course to being its third $1 billion smash of the year for Disney in 2018.
Incredible. Steve, we're talking 3 weeks here, over $440 million.
I know, crazy.
Yeah, good for them.
Oh, yeah, it's a good time to be in the movie business, if you have, especially if you happen to be Disney, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of such, we have another one coming out this weekend called Ant-Man, 86% recommending this one. And this is from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Did you happen to catch the first Ant-Man coming? That came out in 2015.
No, to be honest with you, I did not. I missed that one. And I'm like you. I'm kind of like in awe and wonder here with what this franchise is doing here. I mean, this whole Marvel thing, this is like Ka-Ching City.
And, you know, it's pretty much the same plot time and time again. I'll go through what this one's about. This is supposedly a new chapter for these heroes. Mm-hmm. They have the astonishing ability to shrink. That is their superpower. The Ant-Man and, of course, the Wasp is the movie I'm talking about here. And this is after in the aftermath of Captain America: Civil War. You have Scott Lang, played by Paul Rudd. He grapples with the consequences of his choices as both a superhero and a father. And as he struggles to rebalance his home life with his responsibilities as Ant-Man, he's confronted by Hope Van Dyne, played by Evangeline Lilly, and Dr. Hank Pym, played by Michael Douglas, with an urgent new mission. And now Scott must once again put on the suit, learn to fight alongside the Wasp, as the team works together to uncover secrets from the past. Mm. I mean, not Citizen Kane here when it comes to plot. But doesn't make any difference, though. I mean, this movie will make, they say it's going to open, it's going to make it probably between 70 and 80 million this weekend, and it will be on to make probably close to 750 million maybe worldwide. That's how it works these days. 86% recommending Ant-Man and the Wasp,
huh? Wow.
Yeah, that's what's out.
Okay.
Yeah, like I say, you know, it just continues to work.
Are you following this franchise? I mean, did you see Ant-Man last time?
No, I didn't.
Yourself? Okay. You didn't see it yourself. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. To be perfectly honest, I'm not really into these comic book movies. I mean, I went out and saw Black Panther. What else did I saw? Deadpool. I'll see a few here and there, but typically it's, you know, the same thing time and time again. The universe hangs in the balance, and the superhero saves the day.
Of course. That's like us. We hang in the balance until you put on your cape and you come on and give us these reports. Yes, exactly.
I'd love to have a nickel every time I talk about the universe being, you know, hanging in the balance. I mean, that's what happens week after week.
Right.
Well, here's another one. This is called The First Purge. This is the fourth Purge movie, and I've always been conflicted about these. It seemed a little twisted, but this is the prequel.
Especially, see, I'm a numbers guy. When you give me the fourth, I think it should be the fourth Purge, not the first Purge. So how do we get from the fourth to now we're back to the first one?
Well, Purge fans wanted to know how it all began.
This is kind of like Star Wars. It's like, I'm going to get there, and then all of a sudden, now we're going to go back to the genesis of it.
This is the genesis story.
Okay,
focusing on the events that led up to the very first Purge event.
Okay, all right.
Behind every tradition lies a revolution, and this is your chance to witness the rise of the country's 12 hours of annual lawlessness. Wow, this is, the first Purge began as... to push the crime rate below 1% for the rest of the year, you had the new founding fathers of America test the sociological theory that vents aggression for one night. This is just going to be a trial, wanted to do it in one isolated community. But when the violence of the oppressors meets the rage of the marginalized, the result explodes from the trial city borders and spreads across the nation. That's what happened.
Okay.
So that's how it all began. 49% recommending The Purge. This is the fourth one out there, and it'll do pretty good business, you know?
All it does, it takes a spark. That's all it takes, just a spark. Now then, you're all over the country. Okay.
On a different note here, we have a movie which was very big at Sundance, 96% recommending Sorry to Bother You. Now, this takes place in an alternate present-day version of Oakland. You got this black telemarketer. His name is Cassius Green, played by Lakeith Stanfield. He discovers the magical key to professional success, which propels him into the universe of power calling. Power calling. He's a telemarketer. It leads to all kinds of material glory. He's really in the money, but the upswing in Cassius's career raises serious red flags with his girlfriend, Detroit. She's a performance artist. And a minimum wage striver who secretly is a part of the activist collective. Now, as his friends and coworkers organize in protest of corporate oppression, you have Cassius falling under the spell of the company's cocaine snorting CEO, Steve Lift, played by Armie Hammer, who offers him a salary beyond his wildest dreams. What a conflict there. Sorry to Bother You, 96% recommending that one. That looks pretty good, actually. Really,
could be interesting.
Like
we're all looking for that professional, you know, secret, right? That magic key, right?
Yeah, and he taps into it. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay.
Then a documentary which has been getting great reviews. It's been done by Kevin McDonald, and it's a documentary called Whitney. Mm-hmm. And this takes an in-depth look at the life and music of Whitney Houston, but it really goes deep here. I mean, here's a woman who broke more music industry records than any other female singer in history. She sold over 200 million albums worldwide. She She was the only artist to ever chart 7 consecutive U.S. number one singles. She was in several blockbuster movies, had this brilliant career, and then it gave way to erratic behavior, scandals, and she died at the age of 48. And I just think, I mean, this is a story that plays out again and again. I mean, there's something, it's almost like a curse when you are given this amazing talent, all this fame, all this fortune, and nobody around to tell you no.
Right, exactly.
It happened to Elvis. I think it happened to Michael Jackson and, of course, Whitney Houston. It's, looks like a very interesting movie. And, of course, you know, when you think of her movie, or rather her music and her voice, I Will Always Love You is probably the perfect song.
Yes. Yeah, and here it is on the heels of a 4th of July celebration, the Star Spangled Banner that she sang. What?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
89% recommending that one.
Okay.
We have a movie here from Iceland, which is starring people with names I have no
idea. I know. My goodness. It's like, did they, like, you know what they used to say in typesetting? They just Greek up the names. They just put a bunch of stuff there just to kind of, I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, this is like trying to, you know, this is like ABBA trying to sing English, except they didn't give it to us phonetically here.
Well, I mean, you think Bjork, right?
Yes.
How do you spell that name?
Yes.
And this is like Bjork on steroids. I mean, I don't know who came up with this language. I mean, sure, I'd hate to be a school kid in Iceland trying to learn to spell. Because
I'd still be trying to learn how to spell my name.
Yeah, I know. Crazy stuff. This is a movie called Under the Tree. And once again, this is a movie which has been very big on the festival circuit. 79% are recommending. This follows a guy who's accused of adultery, and he's forced to move in with his parents when he's kicked out of his house. He fights for custody of his 4-year-old daughter, but he's gradually sucked into this dispute between his parents and the neighbors over this old tree. And what starts out as a typical spat between neighbors unexpectedly and violently reaches a boiling point, spiraling out of control. This is a black comedy, very dark stuff, but very funny. 79% are recommending Under the Tree, a movie from Iceland with people whose names you will never be able to pronounce.
Maybe that's why they learn 5 languages. I mean, because their brains have been so stretched just to, learn their own names. They figure, five languages are easy by comparison.
I guess so. And maybe it's because they can't learn their own. I don't know, but there you go.
Lordy, mercy. Okay.
Then we have a movie here which has got a very interesting plot. I'm never sure. I don't think I've ever quite seen this done before. It's called No Postage Necessary.
Hmm.
And this is a movie about Sam. This is a guy who always seems to make the wrong decision. He is a convicted computer hacker. He's single. He's jaded. He's barred from using the Internet. He's forced to crash on his brother's couch. And he makes ends meet by working at the local Twisty Treat. And to make a little extra money, he starts stealing mail while this guy's just a postal worker. And then he gets this single pink envelope, which really changes everything, written by a woman whose late husband, to her late husband, who is a fallen Marine, and the tender missive awakens something in Sam, and mayhem ensues. No Postage Necessary out there this weekend. So we have a lot to choose from, and some very, very big movies.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and if you're part of the Ant and Wasp franchise, it's going to be a big weekend here, and probably will be next week's number one, right?
Right, and hey, these theaters are air-conditioned, so if you're looking to escape...
Oh, Lord, yeah, is it starting to heat up? I'm here on the West Coast, and we've been forewarned here, and of course, I head back to Florida on Saturday, so, this is just to warm me up for heading east, I guess.
We'll be warm in Florida.
You got it. Steve Evans, the movie guy. Thank you, Steve-O.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract. From within a few days, I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.